Our gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 22, and it reads, "The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not gotten in the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to perform the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent.' So they said to him, 'What signs are you going to give us then, so that we may see and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you with a sermon whose title asks the question, what are we really praying for? As we continue our journey through the Lord's Prayer, we have come to the part that we say so diligently, without hesitation and without sometimes consideration. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, on last Sunday, Pastor Anna preached the first part of the Lord's Prayer, and in her sermon, she left us with two things to consider, two challenges for us to wrestle with. The first one was the question, do we truly believe that God will take care of us? And then the second question, is God truly in control of your life? Building on these two questions, if I look at our sermon, our scripture, and our prayer, when we ask God to give us today our daily bread, if you believe that God is capable of giving you today your daily bread, the question then is, how will this change the way that you live your life? How will it change the way that you respond to all the things that you will face during the course of the day, knowing that when you open your eyes first thing in the morning, you won't have a worry or a care or a want in the world because God has already taken care of it. that God will give you whatever you need to get you through the day. And then when tomorrow comes and you open your eyes, once again, God will give you everything you need to get through that day. As you take a moment and reflect on that just a little bit, I want to share with you a story of what life would look like for those who do not believe that God would provide for us. Looking back at our Old Testament scripture, we find the people of Israel in a place where, in this particular point in time in their history, they have not quite accepted that God is real and that God is really, truly going to provide for their everyday needs. Even though God has sent Moses to lead them out of bondage, even though God has led them out of the slavery of the Egyptians, even though God has used Moses to show Pharaoh and all of them the power of God through miracles and through all the plagues that have been done, and even though God led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, no one perished, no one died, even though God showed them his might by destroying the Egyptian army, once they got on the other side of the Red Sea and into the desert, they still were not convinced that God was going to take care of them. They still struggled with believing that God is even capable of doing this. And so, at the very early part of their journey, as they struggled with this belief in this God and this stranger who came to lead them away from their pain and torture, they reached a point where food had run low, water had run out. And so what do you do? Well, they did what came natural. They looked at Aaron and Moses and began to grumble and complain and fuss at them, saying, "I can't believe you brought us out of here to let us die and starve to death. How could you do this? We could have died in Egypt with full bellies, eating food and drinking water and wine and all the other things that made our lives pleasant." And yet, they still cried for God to free them from it all. And so it's with that that Moses went to the Lord and said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. They're not happy at what's happening." So it's with that that God told Moses that, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven." Have them gather enough of it, gave them their instructions on how to prepare it, how to preserve it, when they should take a little, when they should take more. And when all that was said and done, Moses told the people of Israel exactly what God had said. And as human nature would have it, there were still some among them who did not believe that God was going to do this for them every day. And so what did they do? Some gathered up more than they needed, and they tried to stash it away and hide it for the next day, because they didn't believe in their hearts that God would provide for them. And so they had to make provisions for themselves just in case God forgot to take care of them the next day. And though God had been faithful and continued to bless them day after day, there were still some who lived with doubts. There were still some who felt that they needed to take matters into their own hands because God's word was not good enough for them. And then, when all that was said and done, we look at them and we say, well, this is what God had intended for them, that their faith would increase. God showed them consistently that he would provide for their every need, every day, as they needed it. But somewhere within their hearts and minds, they never fully accepted, they never fully trusted in God. And now here's where it gets interesting. Because when we think back to that scripture, when the people of Israel were complaining about food, bread, they were actually looking and praying for food to eat. Fast forward that to where we are today. When we ask in the midst of that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, what is it that we're actually asking God for? Are we asking God to give us manna in the morning, quails at dusk, and water from an occasional well or rock? Or is there something more that we're asking God for? In our gospel reading, the conversation that's taking place between Jesus and his followers, when they came to him and asked, "Where did you come from?" Jesus said to them, "You weren't looking for me because you've already been fed." This scripture follows the time when he fed the 5,000 with bread and fish. And so he said, "Your stomachs are filled, so you're not hungry for food anymore. What you're looking for is something more. You're looking for something that's going to feed your souls. You're looking for something that's going to make your life whole. You're looking for something that's going to make your life complete." And so the question that hovers over us is, what are we really praying for when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? It may begin sounding like a request, asking God to meet our basic needs. And there's nothing wrong with that, because all of us have had these moments in our lives when we ask God to bless us with food on our tables. We ask God to make sure that we can always have a roof over our heads, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet. But after these needs are met, most of us don't just walk away from God saying, "Okay, life is complete and full and I got all that I need." We still go back to God for more. We find ourselves often in need of things that we ask God to provide for us in the same way we ask God to provide us with food. For example, how many times have we gone to God and asked God for guidance and direction when we find ourselves in need of physical, emotional, or spiritual direction and guidance? How many times have we gone to God and say, "Lord, on this day, I need you to fulfill this prayer. Bless me with health or strength, or maybe even healing"? Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we ask God, "God, life is lonely. I need a friend. I need a companion." And then there are those times when we go to God just simply asking, "Lord, give me an assurance of hope and a promise for today, and that tomorrow all the challenges that I'm going to face, that I know I won't have to do them alone, because you're going to be right there with me." This, beloved people of God, is what we're actually praying for when we ask God to give us this day our daily bread. And so it's with that if we then turn to Jesus and we believe what he said in that scripture when he says, "I am the bread of life, and whosoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me, you will never be thirsty." It's with that, beloved people of God, that we can take comfort in knowing that not only will our physical needs be met, but our entire lives will be made complete, because the Lord will provide for us. And so what is it that we're praying for? The answer to this question is that when we say to God, "Give us this day our daily bread," what we're asking God to do is to take care of us, take care of all of our needs, whether they're physical, spiritual, emotional. Be with us throughout the entire day, this day. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but be with me now. I don't know what problems and issues are going to come up, but I know that you're with me and I don't have to deal with them alone. It's these things that we're asking God to do to make our lives complete. And so, with that, I'm reminded of one of the songs that just simply explains all of this so well. And feel free to mouth some of the words with me if it sounds familiar. Be not dismay, whate'er betide, because God will take care of you. Beneath his wings, his love abides. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when hearts doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, church, God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. Nothing you ask will be denied. No matter what may be the test, lean, weary one, upon my breast. And the chorus, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Beloved people of God, leave here today, rest assured, knowing in your heart that God will take care of you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us so much that you always take care of us through every day or all the way. And so, Lord, thank you for providing us daily with the bread that we need to make our life's journey complete. Amen.